Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's great to have you along here with us. Whether you're listening to us on a traditional radio station or by podcast, we're glad to have you here. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with my friend Stephen. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing well today. Thank you, sir.
Good. Well, we are going to dive into a topic that we've touched on before, but I think we're going to kind of narrow things down and go a little bit deeper. And it's the issue of attachment. And Stephen, this seems to be a topic, especially as we deal with sexual addiction, that just comes up over and over again, because it seems like sexual addiction, you can't be involved in a sexual addiction without, on some level, it's going to affect relationships. And when you talk about relationships, there's this issue of attachment. And so why don't you kind of maybe give a broad overview or tell our listeners where we're going to go on this particular broadcast.
Yes, this has been my theme. I'm studying on this. I'm enjoying the study of attachment theory and digging in and trying to get it straight in my own mind. And if you'll recall, I made this comment once before that in our groups that we were running, the wives of the group member said, "Wow, my husband's doing really, really well. He's clean and straight, and he's just cleaned his act up. But our relationship isn't any better." And that just stunned me when I heard that statement. And I thought, why don't men who stop using porn and fantasy and acting out, why don't they immediately then turn and embrace their spouse? And what we found is there are a lot of detached men running around who grab on to pornography to look like they're attaching. It looks like they're connecting, and it's mostly fantasy that they're doing. And they have real wives and real families and real households, and they are detached in their homes, but very connected into fantasy. And so when we pull the fantasy away, we still have to deal with the person underneath that. And so in attachment theory, they talk about four different styles. And number one is the avoider. That's your favorite, Jonathan.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you love the avoider?
Yeah, what I was going to say, too, before we dive into the four styles is,
okay,
is essentially what you're saying is we sort of have to blow up the myth or the assumption that I think a lot of people have when they go into recovery, that simply removing unhealthy behaviors automatically means you're going to engage in healthy behaviors.
That was the assumption we made, and it was wrong.
And you got to blow that up, because that's not actually correct. Just because you're removing unhealthy behaviors doesn't mean that you automatically know how to engage in healthy behaviors.
And doesn't it make sense? If you were really good at healthy behaviors, wouldn't you be practicing healthy behaviors all the time?
Right.
Enjoying healthy behaviors and just thinking about them, planning them, you know, starting them up and winding them down and doing them again. Just great healthy behaviors. But the reality is we have guys that stay in their head, that hide, that avoid, that are scared, that fear rejection. And so they created a place where they can be successful, because in fantasy land, you can be successful.
Now, notice how professionally and successfully I avoided us getting to the avoider category here, because listeners, I have to admit, avoid this one, I mean, it's me. I mean, I'm totally the avoider guy, you know, so I fit this prototype very well. But well, go ahead.
And I'm the pleaser guy, okay?
Why don't we just tell the listeners what the four are, and then we'll go through.
We are. We just told them one and two. They're avoiders and they're pleasers, and there's two more. There's controllers and they're victims. The goal is healthy attachment. But if you are raised in a family where they didn't teach you how to be healthy, then you pick up a role that you think is going to work for you in life, and you play that role, act out that role, mm-hmm. make that part of yourself as you go forward. And so if you've been left alone growing up, maybe you were the only child, maybe your dad was gone all the time, maybe he drank too much, or there was so much fighting in the household, you wanted to be alone. If you were left alone as a child, a lot of times you can be successful at being alone, but you can't be successful at relationships until you learn the skills and practice the skills and become successful with those skills. Mm-hmm. So far so good?
Sounds good to me.
So here's what we've discovered is we have wounded men under sexual addiction. Wounded, immature men that have not developed, men that have not attached and bonded well. This lady said something to me that was just, it was so interesting. To listen to these words and tell me how they strike you. I see death in my husband's eyes. Hmm. When he looks at me, he looks dead. I don't see any sparkle. I don't see any life. I don't see any energy. I don't see any joy. He's just glazed over. He's looking at me, a human being, and all I see coming back is death. Hmm. Well, how does that strike you?
Well, it sounds very, very empty.
Yes.
Very detached, very lonely. I see the things that come into my mind are cold, dark, kind of, I think, prison cell kind of pictures that come into your mind.
That is a great way to describe a detached guy, because there is loneliness and fear and darkness and uncertainty. And when life looks at a detacher, he glazes over. He cannot embrace emotion and health and fullness and enthusiasm and just energy coming at him. It's like, what do I do with all of you? Mm-hmm. A detacher will disengage. And so she says, I bring life to my husband and I lay it down at his feet. I offer it to him. Would you engage me and engage life? And she says, I get a death-like response from his eyes. He doesn't warm up. He doesn't engage. He glazes over. The life is gone. He's gone. His body is there. His eyeballs are there. But the man that should come back and embrace me doesn't come out to embrace me. Mm-hmm. He is a detached man. Now, if you looked at that same man when he was having a fantasy and he was excited with being a hero in his own fantasy, then you would see him come alive. That's mm-hmm. kind of a sad statement, isn't it?
It is, because it's all, everything about the fantasy is only going to be, it's a facade. It's a false sort of connection, a false attachment, a false intimacy. And so therefore, and that's why it just perpetuates this this attitude of disappointment, or this environment in which this guy is just lonely and detached, because what he's trying to seek to fulfill those places in him that really want intimacy and need intimacy can't actually meet that. There's no fantasy that it can ever actually step over into reality.
Wow, that's right. He can only go there in his head. He can't have it in real life. He can't hold it.
Right.
It won't last. It's, you know, if even if he buys it, it's for a moment and it's gone, mm-hmm. right? Because it's not based on reality. So what we are trying to do with today's program is to challenge men to think clearly, and for wives to reflect back on the fact that maybe detaching is going on in this relationship that you find yourself in. And maybe that's why it's empty. And how do we learn the skills of attaching which is really going to be the next program. How do we help an individual attach? But today we are going to take comments from the four categories, and we're overemphasizing the avoider because he is who we see over and over again at the seminars, in counseling, on the phone. The wives come in lonely and detached and crying out, I wanted a relationship, and I'm all alone in this marriage. I wanted a partner, and I have a husband, but I don't have a friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, so let's go ahead and dive in then to the avoiders and take a look at some of these comments that are common among those guys that would be considered in this category of the avoider detacher.
And I'll be the avoider. Let's just make this fun. So, Jonathan, I got to tell you something about my wife. Something is wrong with her. She thinks that when I want my own space, that's wrong. When I try to have my own personal time, I'm messing up. You know, why does she demand from me and place all these expectations on me? She thinks something is wrong if I want my own space.
Are you wanting me to rebut this? Because I'm going, yeah, I mean, I totally
that's
understand
okay.
that.
You should
Remember,
give him his
I'm
space.
The avoider, right? So I'm thinking, well, I
okay.
can kind
of
see
Out
that.
Of character, Jonathan.
Okay, I have to step
out.
Into...
Now, step into your wife's mind and your wife's... I want you to be your yeah. wife. I'm going to be you, and you're going to be your wife. No, that's not right. But I'm going to be an exaggerated avoider, yeah. but I do want you to be a very connected individual.
Well, what a typical healthy wife is thinking when she's thinking what's wrong because this guy wants to go into his cave, wants to go have his own space, is, you know, wives tend to take the relationship as a whole. And so if there's anything that makes her feel like her husband is wanting to move away from her, regardless of what the motivation might be, it causes some concern for her. She's thinking, well, maybe something's wrong with our relationship. Are we safe? Are we good? Are we healthy? Are we connected? And, you know, even if he's wanting to say, I got to go to the man cave for 3 hours to watch a football game and I don't want to be distracted. I want to be, you know, that's my space. Maybe he's got some possibly legitimate reasons in his mind why he wants to go do that. But to her, most things are going to come back to the relationship. And if you're avoiding me for any reason, I'm going to question what's wrong.
Yeah, but your avoiders are repetitive in this behavior, mm-hmm. right? It's
and
not
usually
that one
excessive
time you wanted 3 hours to go play.
Well, that's
no,
just
no,
it.
No.
It's not only repetitive, but usually it becomes more excessive, too. So what started out as 30 minutes of my space turns into 5 hours, turns into a whole day, turns into 3 day weekends, you know, and so it becomes excessive.
Now, is that true of you and computer use and historic in the beginning computer use?
Moving on to the next. No, it is. It is. I think one of the things we ought to touch on here, too, is the addictive personality. When somebody has an addictive personality, they might be able to latch onto something that is not necessarily their sexual addiction, but has the same component of avoiding because they get consumed in something that is not about healthy connections, not about moving toward their spouse. And so, yes, I think those who are avoiders have to be careful of that because you might latch onto something that you say, but I'm not doing anything that's immoral or unrighteous or whatever, but it is having a detrimental effect on the connection and the attachment in your relationship.
So comment number two is this. Jonathan, I don't understand my wife at all. She has plenty of free time and she has money and she has other friends to give her ideas. I do not understand why my wife doesn't have her own hobbies and her own interests. Why doesn't she want to spend more time by herself, with herself, in her head? I like the word games and puzzles and math problems. I like going out and being by myself. In fact, I really enjoy a game of golf alone. I don't have to go with
Amen.
Anyone else. I like to spend time on my computer and just exploring and learning for hours. I'm fine alone. Why can't she get a hobby or an interest, something just to fill her space?
Well, here's the phrase that will usually cause a ripple of panic that will go through an avoider is when his wife says to him, honey, I could be with you 24/7. And I'm serious. My wife has said that to me, and I almost think it's sort of a cosmic comedy how avoiders tend to marry attachers. Avoiders just tend, they tend to be, it's funny. I don't know why that happens necessarily, but they're typically, they then get married to somebody who truly understands and wants to be attached and embraced and just always in that mode of connected. And, you know, I look at this and I kind of agree with the avoider mentality. And my wife and I have been through those kind of conversations. Well, you know, she doesn't seem to necessarily have any hobbies, and me and the kids were kind of her hobby. And yet the thinking that goes through her mind, I believe, is that, well, if you are in love with somebody, if you've committed your life to somebody, why wouldn't you want to spend every moment you can with them? Not in an enmeshment sort of way, but in a way that says, hey, I value time with you. I value your life. I value your input. I value who you are. And oftentimes we are going to communicate what we most desire by what we are investing in the most, primarily our time. And so therefore, if an avoider is investing all of his time in himself, what is he actually communicating then to his wife? Your value is diminished. Your value isn't as much. And, you know, this has been an ongoing conviction for me in my marriage, because it's very easy for me to want to drift and kind of want to have some of these thoughts in my head, when in reality, if I look at it from my wife's perspective, she's showing what she thinks of me in terms of my value by wanting to spend time with me. And so I think it's very important that we realize it that way.
Because she enjoys you, right? Mm-hmm. So number three, Jonathan, I've just got to tell you this. My wife thinks about me and plans to do things with me and give me things. She even gives me things I don't want. But it all comes from this whole idea that she thinks about me so much. And that is baffling to me. I don't actually go around thinking about her all day. So I'm a little bit miffed, annoyed, if you will, that she's giving me things and writing me notes and sending me cards when I go on a trip and has a little something special for me. And it's like, I wish she would go on and think about her life. Why does she think about or spend so much time thinking about my life?
Avoiders don't receive well. We generally don't. We don't receive gifts well. We tend to keep score. We tend to think that everything has to be equal and even. And so sometimes the baffling part of this, I believe, is that we feel like we're always behind in the score category. It's like, oh man, you know, she left me a note in my suitcase for like the 100th time on a trip that I've gone on. And when's the last time I've given her a note? You know, so you feel like it can feel like you're behind. And so sometimes the avoider will, almost in an angry sort of way, try to get his wife to stop being kind to him. It's like, will you stop it?
Because you're making me look bad here.
Exactly.
Right?
And you feel like you can't measure up. And what's interesting is that's typically never the motivation of the one who's giving.
No.
It's never the motivation. The motivation is, hey, I'm in love with you. I want to give you a note because I love you. But avoiders will take that sort of as a scorekeeping kind of thing, even when the intentions are not anywhere in the ballpark of that sort of thinking.
I need to say that these comments come out of a book called How We Love by the Yurkoviches. How We Love. So we're talking about avoiders. And Jonathan, I need to tell you this thing about my wife. It's good, but it kind of bugs me because she is so nice. She is thoughtful and she's caring, and she asks again, then she asks again later. It kind of feels fake, this sense that she's so in tune and so attentive. She's so nice. It's like annoying.
You know, I wonder if the Yurkoviches put put hidden cameras in our house to get, well, because it's funny, all these comments, I mean, these are things that over the years, Elaine and I have talked about. We've had to talk about, because again, I'm the avoider, and I'm the one too that sometimes has accused Elaine of there not being the possibility that a person truly could be as wonderful as she is. You know, it's almost like, are you kidding me? I mean, seriously, are you that amazing that you're that kind, that like selfless? And again, I think one of the fundamental things that comes back to an avoider is one of the reasons we avoid is because we feel like things have to be equal. And so we're because we tend to be very self-centered as avoiders, we're not, when we're around people that are giving, when we're around people that are nice, when we're around people who are truly altruistic, it makes us uncomfortable because we go, well, I don't naturally think that way.
Yeah, and you know, as you're talking, you know, the thought that occurs to me is that it's like we're going to rate each other on these scales of nicefulness and thoughtfulness and gift giving, mm-hmm. right? And it's like the avoiders' numbers are all low.
Yeah, or negatives.
That is great. So, Jonathan, I've got to tell you this about my wife. This is odd, but I don't know if you've experienced this, but I feel like my wife is always taking my emotional temperature. She's always asking me if everything's okay and if I feel okay and did that upset me and what's wrong and do you need anything? I don't get it. I don't talk like that. I don't ask her those questions. She's always got her hand on my emotional forehead and checking my temperature.
This is, I'm sorry, I'm just cracking up over here because, you know, this is something that Elaine and I, you know, that comes up very, very often is this is the phrase she says to me. And I know where it comes from in her, but I sometimes have the response of this avoider. She'll say, are we okay?
Oh!
And essentially that's like the hand going up on the forehead and emotionally, are we okay? You know, and all.
Wow, that's good because it means, are you okay? And am I okay in relationship to you? And is the world okay? And can you tell me?
Exactly. What I've had to learn over the years is you know, before I just blow up and of course that sends the wrong signal.
Like, of course we're okay. What do you think?
Right. But then I've had to begin to understand where that's coming from in her. It's not a statement of, I want you to feel small, and I want you to, you know, to think that I'm completely upset with our relationship and frazzled and insecure. But what she's saying is, really, how are you? And in how you are, what does that mean to us? How are we? And it's just a legitimate question.
It's a huge question, really, because she's saying, I'm in a kind of a neutral place taking the temperature. And I want to take your temperature. Then I want to take the relationship temperature.
It's a huge question, but it's not always a question born out of some crisis.
No, that's right.
It's just a legitimate,
honest
question.
It's like, I would like to look inside you and check your insides right now. If I could get my little dipstick out and measure where we are somehow.
Well, and the problem is the avoider takes it as it can only come out of a crisis. There must be some crisis, and that's why she's... And so that there's usually this explosive response because he's assuming that she's asking that because she thinks everything's bad.
It almost like he comes out with a fear response, right?
It is.
And there's something wrong. I missed it. I don't know what it is.
And I'll tell you why that fear response is. He's an avoider. And so if she's saying, are we okay? Well, he's got to engage and he's got to talk and he's got to share emotion and he's got to give her the temperature.
Well, and think about this. Avoiders miss everything, right? So she's coming to him saying, okay, check the landscape, check the levels of everything here, and tell me that everything's good. Well, he hasn't been paying attention whether everything's good or not, right? Whatever he's about to say is a momentary response from a guy out of touch.
Yeah, and as I've learned over the years, usually the response, fine, doesn't cut it. You know, it's like, she may ask a short, simple question, but she's not expecting a one-word answer. And a lot of times for avoiders, we don't even know where our emotional forehead is. So we don't know how to take our own temperature.
You may need a rectal thermometer. You don't know if you need a forehead. You
all right, this is getting, the analogies are going awry here.
I thought this was a sexual program. Sorry.
Yeah, so anyway.
Okay, so here's my last one, Jonathan. My spouse, I got to tell you this, when she does all these kind, caring, you know, like sweet, insightful things, when she doesn't get the answer she wants, she sometimes makes me feel guilty. And she'll make me feel guilty when I want time away. She blames me. And she thinks my time away is bad. But everybody needs personal time. And I don't like it when she makes me feel guilty.
Yeah, and again, this is one of those things where there's just general misunderstandings about what is being communicated and what is being asked. I truly believe that most of the time she is not out with the intention to make you feel guilty. Maybe she is. If it's gotten to a point of extreme, excessive avoiding, she might be trying anything she can possibly try to get to a place where she feels safe, feels like you're moving toward her, whatever. But for the most part, I think what it is out of her desire to be with you. And when you're not around, she's sad.
And yes, and so let me say, we were going to talk about the four styles. Forget it. We got stuck on the first one. And I think this is really good to dig in and help people to think. But could Elaine have done anything in her power to bring you out? Because everything she was doing with thoughtfulness and kindness and taking your temperature and challenging and trying to make you feel guilty at times and aware at times and educated at times, she was doing everything to bring you out. Could she bring you out?
I think it has to be an act of God. I mean, I really think it has to be about my relationship with God, because I still struggle with avoiding. So it's not like because sexual...
You mean even today?
Even today. Even though sexual behaviors and things like that have cleaned up, the issue, what we're talking about here, I think, goes into the fabric of who we are.
Yes.
And so that's a much longer process of being able... And as it pertains to relationships, I mean, relationships take a long time to grow in these areas. And so even today, Elaine and I are still working through. I'm working through my avoiding issues. She's working through some of her issues. And those are things that just come up over and over again.
And you could not have done this work of growing in a healthy manner had you not put in check the sexual acting out behavior.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's why we challenge men. Clean up the sexual stuff so you can do the real work so you can have a great relationship.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. If you'd like more information about some of these other types of attachments, we encourage you to get the book How We Love by Milan and Kay Yurkovich. We are glad you've been with us this week, and we'll have you back here next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
You've been listening to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Learn more about our show at puresexradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Our mailing address is coming up. Get your pens ready. You can also contact us by phone at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-49-PURITY. Our mailing address for your notes and donations is Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 401, San Antonio, Texas 78217. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.